And welcome to Tales from the Long Box podcast number, what number is this?
28.
That would be nice.
0.1 according to Marvel.
Oh! First Marvel sting of the evening. I think this is lucky 13, I think.
It is.
Yes, episode 13. And once again, continuing the high level of professionalism here on this podcast. Basically, this is going to be comic talk today. We're just going to talk about things we've read. And you can talk amongst yourselves if you want. For you youngsters, that will go right over your head. But anyway, let's see. Talk about some of the stuff we've read, stuff we've liked, stuff we haven't liked, so on and so forth, yada, 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 things and stuff and all that.
All right. Well, I think you may or may not be in agreement with me on this, Chris, but
yes.
I owe Judd Winnick an apology because Red Hood number two was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay. I'm glad you mentioned that because I'm on the fence.
No, you're not. It's good.
No. Let's hear me out.
There's no fence. It's black and white. Oh, wait a minute. This is three color.
Hear me out. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Jason Todd's not my favorite character. All right. I like the Red Hood thing that they did it. And I'm liking what this is, kind of seeing some of his background and everything. And that's a cool story. But the characters of Roy and Starfire, they could pretty much just not be in there, and I'd be okay with it.
Oh, wrong.
Oh, okay. They got to be there.
Well, I mean, they're okay, but I wish that the Roy character was somebody totally else altogether, and they just had a different name on it, which really, it's a lot better than it was before, the one-armed monstrosity that he was before.
Yeah,
the flashy reboot.
Totally, he's back to his slacker roots there. I love it.
Well, it might be too much of a slacker for me, but I mean,
yeah, there's no such thing.
None of these people are heroes though. So when you put that in there, you know, that kind of adds a different perspective. I could done without seeing that big, huge, I don't know, lady, whatever that was that got shot, but anyway.
I wanted to see more of her, I mean, figuratively speaking.
Yeah.
I wanted to see the character continue, but.
Yeah. But
she's pretty fleshy. Maybe it's just a flesh wound. Maybe, you know.
Well, okay, let's put it this way. If they took the bat symbol off of him, I would be a lot better with that, but they're obviously using. This is not by any means a bat book, but they're using that to try to get people into it. It's good. I might just continue reading it because I like the way. I mean, he does have some honor. It's a lot better that. Did you say Winnick a while ago?
Was it? Isn't it Winnick or Jack? It's Jenkins. Whatever. Whoever the frickin' writer is.
It's Scott Lobdell.
I don't know. It's not. You're right. Winnick, it's not Winnick.
Because it just hit me. Because Winnick was the one in that last arc, an arc before the reboot. That he took the and he's the one that tried to say that, you know, Bruce Wayne made Jason Todd dye his hair red. I mean, his hair was red and he made it dye it black so it looked like all the other Robins.
And I said Winnick because Winnick is responsible for the return of Jason Todd.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where that came from. So.
Yeah, right. But yeah, I this is kind of fun.
Totally. So,
He's converting himself as he talks about this.
Yeah.
But it's so good, I might even go back and read some of the countdown issues with Jason Todd in it.
Oh,
oh
wow.
No, don't do that.
Okay.
I mean, I'd sell you all my countdown issues really quick.
Oh, no, I've still got them.
Let's see. Along that same line, I read Green Lantern Corps today. I'm way behind, by the way. I got a huge stack that I haven't read yet. But that's just awesome stuff. Nobody's read that. And I know you guys didn't care for the Batman and Robin thing, but I like where it's going. number two. Read it today.
I didn't even read number two. I admit it right now.
Oh, but man. It's some of the things you're saying about the kid being, you know, pain, it's being addressed in here.
Okay.
That's going to – there is a storm a-coming. He's hiding his true nature from Bruce, and it looks like they're going to delve into Bruce Wayne's past as when he was training to be Batman a little bit. You come up with some new part of the mythos and talking about Ducard was mentioned, which is a name I haven't heard in a while. I don't know if you got – that's – if you remember in Batman and Robin, that Ducard character was Liam Neeson. Well, that's actually a character that they used back even in the Silver Age, talking about – that's the guy that Bruce Wayne learned how to hunt people. So there's a character that shows up that apparently he knew from that past and knows that he's Batman. It's an interesting take. So I'm looking forward to that. And both of those are by Peter J. Tomasi, one of my favorite writers right now. Good stuff. Both done by Patrick Gleason, too. I take that back. Fernando Passerin did the Green Lantern Corps.
You know, Green Lantern Corps, I know I read number two, mm-hmm. but it made zero impression on me. I don't even like 2 or 3 weeks ago?
And yeah.
I already don't remember what happened.
Well, it had to do with fingers getting cut.
Whoa.
Murray, are you in the woods?
I am not in the woods.
Okay, well, it just sounded like you fell in the grass there. But it's got a bunch of guys that apparently are not affected by the green energy. And it's just a lot of action and big, you know, bam, splash, whatever. And I've been reading these characters for a while in this title before the reboot, so that might have something to do with it. But it just seemed like a real flashy, action-packed issue to me.
I will not be – no offense to it, but I'm – not coming back for number three.
If it didn't make any I'm just gonna ramble on unless you got something specific.
No, we and I said it before the call started. You know, I'm rebudgeting and I can't afford all the books. And if I, you know, mm-hmm. if I'm not really looking forward to the next issue of one of these books at the end of the current issue, I got to seriously think about, you know, continuing to buy it. And, you know, a lot of these books, they're good. Don't get me wrong. I would still, you know, if I had an unlimited budget, or not even unlimited, just a bigger budget, some of these books would definitely be continue to buy.
Right.
Hell, with an unlimited budget, there's some that wouldn't make the cut. But,
I agree with you there.
I can't justify that. But,
yeah.
Yeah. Static. We have feedback here. I'm sure, you know, Green Lantern, and it's been said before, it'll be said elsewhere. Mm-hmm. There's too much of it.
I agree with that. I was just, I don't know, just how good that was surprised me. I liked the direction they're going, well, now with the Green Lantern regular title. I tell you, the one that I haven't read number two yet, but the one I'm really – which kind of bothers me because I really like Kyle is that new Guardians thing. I'm not too keen on that. And let's see. I got Resurrection Man number two. I kind of splurged a couple of weeks ago, and I pretty much bought everything that came out DC-wise. Yeah.
You'll get your Kyle fix. It looks like it's Voodoo number three.
Oh, well, I'm not buying that title ever again.
Oh!
That's what the two that I will not – that and Hawk and Dove I'm not touching.
Wow.
I just don't want anything to do with that. Let's see. I'm looking at the stack of stuff I read. Birds of Prey number two was a lot better than number one.
It was. Agreed.
And I will probably keeping that. I liked the DC Universe Presents, where that story went with Deadman. That was good.
Much better number two. You know, it's funny. We talked about this before, but a lot of the number twos have actually been better introductory issues.
Yeah. And you got the scratchy thing going on, Caleb. Already.
How about now? Is now okay?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay. I may leave it unplugged for the moment, unless I start sounding distant.
You sound a little distant, but that's okay. You're good.
Okay. The number twos. I was just trying to say that the number twos were actually better introductory issues in some cases than the number ones were.
Mm-hmm.
Birds of Prey being a great example of that.
Yeah, I liked it a whole lot better than the first one.
I may have to pick that one up.
Because I gave it another chance because I've read that guy's work a lot on that. Hello?
I'm here. I just turned up my volume.
Okay. Now we got an echo. Of me. Follow with the cracker? Okay, that's better. Anyway, Mr. Terrific, I didn't think was as good as the first one, maybe, a little bit.
I didn't try number two, so I wouldn't know.
And with the art style, it was a little different. I'm not sure. I really like that character, but I'm not sure if I'm – I don't know. That's kind of on a iffy basis with me.
Aren't they already on the artist number three or four on that book?
Yeah, that's the thing. Okay, so I was reading on the comic forums, and I think this slipped by a lot of everybody. Did anybody read My Greatest Adventure?
I did.
What'd you think?
I liked it. I liked
Because I already read the story of Garbage Man and Tanga from that Weird Worlds series they did. But
I didn't pick up any of the Weird World stuff, so I was coming into their two stories cold.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there was enough there that you could get it. Like, I didn't feel I was super lost in Garbage Man. But, yeah. I mean, I'm not seeing how Garbage Man is any different than, like, 1970s Swamp Thing. Maybe.
And for somebody that didn't read that, then...
Yeah, oh, for sure. If you never ever read that, then... Mm-hmm. then you don't need to because you can just read it in Garbage Man. And maybe the story's going in a different direction or I don't know.
I was intrigued by the Garbage Man. I actually, to tell you the truth, I picked it up a little bit to continue the Tanga story because I thought that was just slightly interesting.
Is that Kevin McGuire drawing and writing that? Is that right? On the Tanga one?
Okay. I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a Robot Man that I actually picked it up for, and that. Now I'm not a Doom Patrol aficionado like you are, Murray, but isn't that like a large departure from the Robot Man of the past?
Well, yes and no. Like, I mean, it depends where they go with it. Like, it's the character for sure. He's always been like a daredevil type. Mm-hmm. Character and
I remember that
and my guess is at this point he hasn't been affiliated with the Doom Patrol like I
mm-hmm.
really
that's just the impression I get.
Don't mention them at all.
They didn't mention them, and I get the sense that he's never been a part of the Doom Patrol. Now maybe he has and that's all in his past and they're just kind of moving forward or what. I don't know. Either way, it's a clean slate with the character for sure. Like he's operating out of, I think it's Las Vegas, as some sort of adventurer for hire, and
is he working with that Elvis guy from the end of the last series?
He is not. No, he's working with another. He's working with a lovely young lady.
Yes, and did you, Maddie Rouge.
Which
is Brotherhood of Evil, right? Or Madame
Rouge is part of the Brotherhood of Evil. So I don't know if they're just playing with the name. It's too obvious a connection to not do something with for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious to see where it was going. I was looking forward to it because it was Robot Man, but I was not looking forward to it because it was Scott Collins, and I'm kind of hit miss with him. Like, I liked the stuff he did on Flash. I didn't like the stuff he did on Legion. I really hated the stuff he did on Justice Society recently. It was...
Yeah, I didn't read any of that, but...
Oh, I love that stuff. Sorry, Murray. That was actually my favorite of his stuff, but okay.
Yeah, it's weird. There's some of it in here that doesn't even look like him.
No, I don't know. Like, the JSA stuff, eventually I just kind of... I thought, maybe it's the colorist. The colorist is wrecking it, but...
Well, yeah, because it...
Same, it's yeah. the same colorist, though. Like, it's the same art team, same penciler, same inker, same...
Well, I'm looking through it again, and it doesn't really even look like Scott Collins until the zombies show up.
Yeah, there are parts. I can see some of Matty Rouge looks like Scott Collins characters and stuff. Mm-hmm. And anyway, the art to me is I prefer it to what he was doing in Justice Society. Like, it's a lot less muddy. It's less... I don't know. It's less painterly. It's more comic-y. It's good. Like, I enjoy it. I'm not sure I love the design for Robot Man. I think that's a little a little 1970s. But
I was thinking 50s almost.
I was thinking the way he looked when he came back when they were the new Doom Patrol
with the antennas.
He almost. I don't think he's got the antennas, but it's pretty similar.
Yeah, he's got some antennas action going on.
Does he? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. Anyway, I liked it. Like, I liked the Robot Man story. I thought the Garbage Man story was fine. The Tanga story, I thought it was the weakest of the three, but it was fine. Like, it was pretty, and there's stuff going on there. So I like the idea that they're doing an anthology book, and I like that it's really similar in tone to the My Greatest Adventures of the, like, 1950s, 1960s. Like, it's super similar. Like, it's got three stories. It's got, you know, a man turned into a monster. It's got space aliens. It's got the first-person perspective. It's very, very similar in tone, but updated. And it's kind of cool. I don't know how long it'll last, but, yeah. I mean, it's only a mini, so...
Yeah, they're only slating it for six.
So. Yeah, but I like that they brought it back.
Mm-hmm. So how many pages is each story 8 pages? So it's a 24 page book.
8 to 10, I think.
Yeah, huh. I would say.
What's the price point?
$4.99.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, that'd be about
right. Yeah, Robot Man 10. 10.
Cool.
Yeah, it's not bad actually.
It's longer, like, and it goes with the anthology thing that everyone's been bitching about, that the DC Universe book should be.
Well, I think that's more like, I think what they're doing with the DC Universe Presents is more, instead of putting a bunch of miniseries out of something they want to try, they're putting miniseries under this title. Because you can just call this a Dead Man miniseries for 5 issues, and then, you know.
And why didn't they do that?
I don't know. I mean, that's the idea I'm getting, anyway.
I would rather they take that title and just drop the DC Universe and just call it DC Presents, and then do team-up stories, you know, and have... Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess they tried that recently with Brave and the Bold, and it didn't sell super well, but...
Well, they changed the... I don't know. I think people need the one and either they don't think it'll sell, or maybe it just won't. People are so used to having a continuing story through the issues, but a lot of those were one and done stories, and maybe it just didn't take off like they wanted it to.
And it's funny that they've got 3 miniseries going right now out of the new DC Universe. They've got The Shade, which was really good, by the way.
Yes, I did like that.
Really good, yeah.
But the other two are both Batman-centric. They're Huntress, which is supposed to be actually have bigger multiple Earth things.
Yeah.
And then the Penguin, which is I'm not even sure where that's supposed to fit in. Which was
Huntress is that is pretty solid in our universe.
So they're willing to do miniseries. Yeah. So it comes as a counterintuitive that they went this direction with Deadman, who,
yeah,
I don't know. Again, I think you're right. I think they wanted to, they had to put DC on there somewhere to give it some selling point, because Deadman miniseries has proven to not sell recently.
Yeah, now as far as the Penguin goes, I don't know if you guys read that Batman Gates of Gotham series. But that's, they were setting up the current tone and storyline for the Batman titles in the new universe back then. Scott Snyder and that Higgins guy wrote it, the one that's doing Nightwing.
Right.
And they pretty much established in it that the Cobblepot family has been in Gotham since the beginning. And I think that's an extension of that. They're building up the Penguin's background to match.
Well, and they're using, and this is, and I think that's actually a good point. I mean, they're clearly,
I haven't read that yet.
Somebody's got nine continuity, because they've got Cobblepot in the Western book too.
Yeah, that's where it's coming from. They got this whole backstory, and it's, I got the Batman Year One animated thing and listened to some of the commentary and stuff in that, and they're really big on making Gotham another character. And they,
by
even
way, I'm halfway through watching that, by the way, so don't, no spoiler, no pain.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. I've read that so many times, and I even got that deluxe edition trade that they put out from that Thwipster for like $8 or something like that. And it's got a bunch of sketches and stuff in the back. I haven't looked through it, all of it yet. But the story itself, it's pretty much identical, except for a little bit here and there, to the book. So if you've read it, that's fine. But all that commentary and stuff on the Blu-ray version especially – that was what was worth it for me. So, because they talked to Denny O'Neill. Yeah, it was quite interesting. The guy who's the executive producer of Dark Knight Rises gets Scott Snyder, Denny O'Neill, and Dan Didio in a room, and they talk about Batman for like an hour, and it's pretty interesting.
I totally sidetracked you there. I'm sorry, man.
No, that's cool. What were we talking about? Oh yeah, the anthology. The Penguin thing. Yeah, they're really working hard to making all that the Gotham like a separate actual entity itself. So, pardon me. Sorry, it's been a long day. I'm still recovering from my folks being here. Not that it wasn't a great visit. It was just,
Tacos and ketchup. Tacos and ketchup.
Yes, let's not get that started. Let's see. Okay, let's skip to Marvel for a minute.
Sure.
Picked up the Wolverine and the X-Men number one and Uncanny X-Men.
Purchases, both of them. Great purchases.
Yeah, well, I've just not bought. I read a little bit of the schism, so I know what the deal was. I picked up the Regenesis one shot that they did that was leading into this. I just can't buy the whole Wolverine wanting to teach kids. I haven't read Wolverine and or the X-Men in probably, I don't know, 15, 20 years, something like that. I just, him being the one, not wanting the kids to be, have childhoods and everything. I mean, they're going to, the way things are with only a couple hundred mutants left, the way they've got it now, I don't know. It's just, it's interesting. I actually liked Uncanny X-Men better. Okay, but I've always been a Cyclops fan. I'm probably the only person in the universe that actually likes Cyclops over Wolverine.
Well, clearly, there's a you're part of a camp of people though, because they've made him
yeah
the main character of Uncanny X-Men, where They knew they couldn't sell a book called Cyclops and the Uncanny X-Men, but they knew that, you know, they could, he could at least carry the book as the main supporting character. So.
Yeah, and I've obviously missed a lot. I mean, you got Juggernaut stuff in Colossus. And,
oh, I was clueless, and I even read some of the Fear Itself stuff. So,
I've seen pictures of him on comic covers with the Juggernaut thing going on, and
have you read these, Murray?
I haven't. They were.
Oh, well, I just spoiled it for you. Sorry.
That's all right. No worries. They were sold out, I think, at the shop. I looked, took a brief glimpse at the Marvel wall, and it was all Fear Itself banners everywhere. So I tried to pick out which X-Men was the newest one, and I either they were sold out or they were hidden inst amongst the banners. But I have a feeling they were sold out. They seem to be.
Yeah.
They seem to be big sellers.
Go for their B-level book. Actually, the best book to come out of Schism so far, while those two were really strong, was New Mutants.
Yeah, it was interesting how they're doing that, having them be a cleanup team. That's
Is it still Young Mutants?
Yeah, it's the all the same characters that were in the original New Mutants. They're just grown up, and a couple of them don't have powers anymore.
One of them, Danny Moonstar has.
Well, just that. One? Okay, yes. That's how much I know.
Cool. No, I've been keeping up on the book, so. But it's Abnett and Lanning who are writing it.
That's right.
Oh, very cool.
So that's a selling point.
That's a reason to look at it.
They're one of those few writers who are doing jobs at both companies.
That's correct. And, you know, if also. Marvel's finally said they're going to be gradually, by March, be completely day and date digital. So yeah. I'm sure you can pick that up later on.
Did I miss a memo? I thought they'd already said that.
Well, see, they had, but it was only certain things.
Oh,
and then okay. You got
yeah.
into
I think
the
it
thing.
Was just, yeah, like new issues maybe were going to be day and date.
Right, and they release other older stuff. Most of their stuff was older stuff, what they had out there already.
Oh, okay. I thought that they had made that decision that everything was going day and date anyway. So
well, the first one that they were going to do that consistently was Amazing Spider-Man, but they never did.
Really?
Yeah. And you got the whole thing, which I think they – for whatever reason, they made it where everything except for Android, they were on Comicsology. Okay? And on Android, they had with Graphically. And something must have happened where they got out of that because now they're on Comicsology on Android now.
Huh.
And some of it you couldn't get on the web.
Interesting.
You could get it on the iPad, the Apple, all the Apple devices, but you couldn't get any of it on the web. Now they've got it all on the web and on Android. So it's like they're trying to dip. They had their toes in different pots to see which one was going to be the one to boil. Hey, that's not a bad analogy.
Very well done.
So, and once they figured that out, they jumped in with both feet into that pot.
Well, I'll tell you, they didn't miss the boat, but it's sort of like that episode of I Love Lucy where they, you know, she has to get the helicopter to get her onto the steamship.
Yeah.
DC said, you know what? Screw it. We're gonna go whole hog here. You know, we're gonna win or lose. We're gonna give it a shot, and it, you know, it's worked out very well for them. I mean, we still don't have digital numbers on them, but.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that it's a losing proposition if Marvel's willing to dive in.
No. I'm sure it's doing awesome for them. So, but anyway.
Somebody else just went day and date digital as well. One of the.
I don't remember.
No, it's just it's. I've been watching the news posted on Facebook. So.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Anyway, let's see.
I guess I did miss a memo. I guess they were cagey about the whole.
Well,
process.
I don't think they actually even said anything. It was all the news spots that picked it up.
Okay, well,
I think they were actually quiet about it. So
okay,
quiet, unlike my dog. You can hear the dog barking on there, but
or my kids.
Yes. Yes.
This is the background noise episode.
Yes, it is. But let's see. The other thing they had.
Speaking of Marvel, let me real quick. I said it before. I'll say it again. Spider Island and Amazing Spider-Man was awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading that when I get to that part in the trade.
It is so much fun. The writing on it, super strong. There's all these characters from all over the Marvel Universe in it who are totally in character.
Mm-hmm.
I knew nothing of the current Spider-Man stuff going on, and no problem. Easily caught up by it.
I think other people have mentioned that.
For anyone who knows who Spider-Man is, look it up. Even the last chapter of the story, you will be totally caught up on exactly what happened, who was involved, what's going on in Peter Parker's life today. They should be promoting the hell out of that book. Left and right, they should have gone day and date digital.
Yeah, I've seen some of it on there.
Awesome. Well worth the price.
Now, that speaking along that lines, did you hear the news about the new ongoing?
The
new Spidey ongoing?
Yeah, it's the Scarlet Spider.
Whatever it's called. What's it called? Avenging Spider-Man?
No. This is a different one. This hasn't come out yet. It's called the Scarlet Spider. Apparently, somebody, which I don't think they know who, they might have hints in the actual storyline, keeps their powers after that incident and becomes a hero called the Scarlet Spider.
Oh, so it's not Ben Reilly who they?
Well, that remains to be seen, but yeah.
Ben Reilly, Kane actually is who mm-hmm. one of his other clones.
I don't see it in here, but I saw it somewhere. I'm talking about it. It might even be in the latest previews, but I don't remember. But yeah, that's a new thing.
Cool.
Let's see. Batwoman was good. Batgirl was good. Resurrection Man, I'm not sure if I'm going to stick with that or not. Let's go off the beaten path with some indie stuff. Well, Vertigo's not really indie. I got that Spaceman #1. That was interesting.
Is it good?
Yeah, it was. I liked the art in it, and Brian Azzarello, which I looked through the #2 of Wonder Woman. I haven't read it yet. That is some good stuff.
#2, again, better than #1, by the way.
Oh, it was much better than #1.
Yeah, it looked like it was. I even got Green Arrow, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Well, with two more issues, there's going to be a whole new team on it. I figure, you know, I'll stick it out. I read the second one. It was like being transported back in the 90s. It just amazes me that they got through like that. Another Marvel book, Daredevil, loving it. I haven't read #5 yet. Let's see. Go ahead. What?
Longest issue so far.
Is it? Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Murray, get it.
I've got to pick it up. Yeah.
I don't know if they got it on Comicology yet, but I'm sure they will soon.
Just like with the Spider-Man stuff, you do not even have to pick up issues 1 through 4. #5 is still easy to read.
I think Wade's always been good about that.
But get issues 1 through 4, right? Right, yeah. Chris? Do you agree?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, I just went to their Comicology's page. They've got Uncanny X-Men on here ready to buy.
But do they have Daredevil? They do not.
They do not? Really?
Well, they didn't have it 2 weeks ago. Maybe they've got it now.
They got the New Mutants on here. Interesting. And Monday is usually Marvel sale day, so.
Oh, okay.
So watch out. If you haven't, sign up for their newsletter. They got they have stuff all the time. Nah, I don't see the newest one. I got a bunch of the older stuff for $1.99.
Do they have Wolverine in the X-Men #1?
I did not see it there.
Nope.
That's interesting that they would have that and not the other. Yeah, and I'm paying more attention to Comicology because I am. I jumped on the Kindle Fire bandwagon. I pre-ordered one of those, so should be interesting.
So dived in, whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know, I came into a little extra money due to some stuff I wrote, so I've been treating myself. So it's
excellent.
So it's pretty much all gone now. So I want to talk about. Oh, go ahead.
What else to do with found money but spend it? Come on.
Yeah, well, I know. You know. Love and Breed, and the word is out now because the cover is is out. Number 6, which I think is supposed to be the last issue. He has pretty much all of his other creator-owned characters show up to join the Breed character to fight the bad guys. Okay. And it's on the cover, so I'm not spoiling it too much. You got Dreadstar, you got Kid Cosmos, you got the Catman OD from the Dreadstar comic, a couple others I've never seen before, and it's some pretty cool stuff. I've just looked through it, but it's pretty neat. The cover is an homage to Dreadstar number 1, where it shows Dreadstar and OD, you know, fighting all those robots or whatever. Well, it's that same kind of thing with the other characters, and then it's all demons instead. So it's really good stuff. I believe I've sung its praises many times. Another one I'm enjoying from Dynamite is the Bionic Man. I have number 3 in my hand. It has a Buona Beast reference for you Legion fans and Buona Beast fans, but not the character. In typical Kevin Smith humor, it's referencing about a mole on Steve Austin's behind that's shaped like Africa. Quite entertaining.
Yes. I only get one Dynamite book, which is The Boys.
See, that comic sickens me. I won't have anything to do with it. That's just me.
It's supposed to.
Well, it's not enjoyable to me.
Okay. not for everyone. Believe me, I've even had downtimes with that book as well. But
I looked through the first issue and I never picked it up again.
It's winding up. It's got
I heard it was optioned for a movie as well.
Well, I would never go to that movie. That would
yeah.
They couldn't do it justice.
Oh,
they,
I know.
It's gotten better again. It seemed like he kind of wandered off, but Dynamite gave him a chance to do that. I mean, he's allowed to have those sales. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I don't begrudge him that. I mean, if people will buy it, that's great. You know, it's just not something I'll go for. But let's see. I got Zorro Rides Again, enjoying that. Matt Wagner does great work on that book. Just found out that the Lone Ranger's coming back. Enjoyed that. Hopefully it'll come out more frequently than it did in its previous incarnation. They would do 4 or 5 issues and be off for like 4 months and then come back and do a couple more issues. It took them, I don't know, I think 4 years to get 25 issues out.
And who's doing that? Is it the same creative team, I wonder?
Yes. Yeah, okay, it is. So, yeah, I'm glad to see that.
That was the only other book I was getting for a little while from Dynamite was Lone Ranger.
I love it.
Yeah,
I was giving that to my dad too. He was reading it and really liking it. I think they did a really good job with that character. Let's see, Blue Beetle number 2 is good. Justice League International, good stuff. Demon Knights, yeah,
I got both of those.
You know what I got? And I read, because everyone was giving me such crap about it, is I picked up OMAC.
Picked up what?
OMAC.
Oh!
Excellent.
Yeah. There you go.
OMAC 3? Number 3?
I've got it. I haven't read it.
I called my LCS, my local comic store, Greg's Comics in Mesa, Arizona, and asked them to put aside a number two for me. So
that's cool.
I will. Not much to catch up on, luckily. Though it didn't require any catching up on. I could have missed one and two. Again, good job, Didio, whatever, and Giffen. They very accessible comic book.
Totally. Everything so far has been done in one. There's like a little through line that kind of goes through that if you read all three, great, you're putting it together, but you don't need it at all. It's so good. I mean, it's got narrator boxes. Narrator boxes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
I almost get the impression that this narrator is actually going to turn out to be a character.
That's very possible.
And good characters. And there you go with some diversity. And it's not even forced. It doesn't feel like the forced diversity that they that some of the other things have felt.
Yeah, they've slipped the blue skin guy in there really seamlessly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the blue skin, the green skin.
Let's see.
They all look the same to me, but whatever, you know.
That's right.
Finally got my Kirsch hardcover.
Ooh.
I passed on the Kirsch. I passed on... By the way, speaking of Legion...
Yes.
Legion lost 2, once again, better than number 1.
Absolutely. That text should have been in the beginning. It seems like a lot of people, they just bring my take on it. It seems like they want to be spoon-fed what's going on a little bit. But that one needed it a little bit. I like trying to figure out what's going on, but that was, even as a Legion fan, that was a little bit much. It was a lot better.
And so was Legion of Superheroes number 2 was even was better.
That one's still on my list to read.
Okay. And the other one, the Legion, Secrets of the Legion or whatever, what's it called? Anybody?
Is it Secret Origin?
Maybe that's it. My
daughter left an impression on us. I take it.
Yeah, I ended up getting a couple rings out of it, but 3 rings actually.
Yes, I've got a few.
My daughter actually liked it more than I did. It's not that I didn't enjoy it. I leave or take it, but my daughter loved it. She's
that's good.
I've converted her. She's a huge Legion fan at 8 years old, which is right around when I became a Legion fan. So,
good stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, I thought the Secret Origin issue was I thought it was pretty. I thought the story was okay. Mm-hmm. I think I will like it more as it continues. Like, mm-hmm. I think as I go back and reread it and then add a couple of issues to it, it'll read a little better, I think. But I am looking forward to seeing where it goes.
Mm-hmm. It's like watching Fringe. I have to watch like 2 or 3 episodes at a shot. If I watch individually, it doesn't hold up. And when I watch like 3 episodes, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, see, no, that's funny you should say that. I'm the same way with Fringe. I've got 3 on the TiVo right now I haven't watched. But
you know what episode is like that? Hi, Carly.
You know, you funny. That's actually not a bad show. I've watched that when we were over visiting my sister and my folks. We stayed at my sister's house, and the kids love that. She's got 3 boys. I have been watching it
all weekend long.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I know.
Let's see.
I don't think a 40-year-old plus guy should be watching.
Well, all you gotta do is say I'm just keeping track of it for my kid. That's what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, except she doesn't like it, so.
Oh, well, there you go.
Well, no, she'll watch it. She watches it with me, but.
I see.
But really, I'm the one forcing her in front of the TV. She would much. Anyway. Anyway.
Okay. I got another book I'd like to recommend, which I'm a little behind on, but I'm looking at it here on – it's on Comicology right now. It's from Boom. If any of you ever read any of the Elric books, from Michael Moorcock or the any of the his characters from the Eternal Champion. There's a and I thought it was a limited series, but apparently it's an ongoing. Chris Roberson, the one that's doing the Star Trek Legion crossover, is writing a book called Elric the Balance Lost about all those characters, and it's really good. Issue number 5 just came out, and starting a brand new story arc, and I really enjoy it. I've become a fan of his since he was on the Legion podcast, and I was already reading that anyway. Didn't realize, wasn't really paying attention to the writer, but that's some really good stuff.
He's doing the iZombie. Is it iZombie is his?
Yes, that's a creator-owned thing, yeah. But yeah, he is. As a matter of fact, I bought the first trade of that just from listening on the podcast. I like the guy, so I was like, okay, well, I'm going to give him some money. So, but yeah, it's really good.
Okay. I saw the trade sitting at the store. I didn't grab it, but I did pick up his Legion Star Trek thing. So it.
Yeah.
Which was.
And it was okay. Funny. We were in the shop, and I read the back of the iZombie to my wife, and she even sounded interested, which almost gave me a heart attack. And she said it's sitting on her little laptop thing. She says she's going to read it. She has yet to, but I have the second volume in my extremely large stack of trades I haven't read yet. So that should be good.
So complete aside here. Okay, so
yes.
I've mentioned frequently on the show and in Facebook and so on and so forth about how my daughter reads comics too. Right. And I'm trying to get my youngest one to read them as well. And my wife, she read the whole Sandman series. She hasn't read anything since, but occasionally glances at what my daughter's reading. But do you guys have people in your family that you've dragged into this world?
I would say my dad. I have, because I've been getting things, and the Lone Ranger is what did it, and he reads anything I send him, no matter what it is. I had a collection of various Grendel stuff. He read all of that and liked it. I don't have that much of that, but. But the Jonah Hex he really liked, and the other, and I just send him stuff, and he says he reads it. But he's read all the first issues of the 52, and he said they were different but good. I believe is what he said. He's a man of few words, so he doesn't usually gush about anything. So, so that would be it.
Okay, so your dad. But you mentioned that your wife might be reading the.
She said she had, but I don't know if she has or not. But at least it interests her. So.
What about you, Murray? Have you ever have you dragged anybody into this?
My daughter. Yeah, she reads. She likes Tiny Titans. She likes. Yeah. She loved the Magic of Shazam Billy Batson book that was out. She was crushed when that was canceled.
Oh, the Mike Conley stuff, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that and then even the. Art and Franco and Mike Norton on art. She loved that part of it too. She's reading Young Justice and she likes it. She's not sure she wants to try the Green Arrow book or the Green Lantern book. The Art and Franco are coming out with the animated adventures of Green Lantern.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that. Huh.
Yeah, they're doing the comic for it and it's coming out in November and she's thinking maybe. Mm-hmm. But she likes those. She likes she loves the Marvel Wizard of Oz books. Loves them.
The Scotty Collins stuff? Yeah.
Yeah. They're beautiful. The Scotty Young.
Scotty Young, yeah.
Yeah, she loves those. Those are the ones that are catching her eye right now.
You should said it before, but grab up the Franklin Richards stuff.
I've seen some of that. It looks interesting.
It's totally fun. If she liked the Shazam stuff, she'll love it. I think she'll really love the Franklin Richards stuff.
Yeah, for sure. What else? Oh, she's loved Polly in the Pockets. Polly and the Pirates. that was by put out by Oni, and the guy that does Courtney Crumrin, what's his name? Don't remember, but it's a great series.
Yeah.
It's a great little mini series, and there's a new one coming out, I think, in January. So she's looking forward to that one.
And I only ask because, I mean, you know, that when Chris and I were first talking about doing this, our whole purpose in life was to make people, you know, buy comics or want to buy comics. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we revisit that, you know, that thought, but us talking general comic talk. I mean, you mentioned, hey, my wife was looking at this, might pick it up. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. And just off the description on the back and just off your enthusiasm for Chris Roberson,
mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
Yeah. She sounded interested.
Yeah, my wife is purely anti-picture.
Yes, she is. And she's of her own admission. She has – I've had her read some of the 52 stuff, and she just can't get into it. She can't – from what she says – the way the pictures are presented, that's just, she just can't follow it. So, you know, I guess it makes sense. Some people's brains might not be predisposed to that. So, you know,
I can get behind that. My wife, you know, she tries and she's dry, but my daughter, for some reason, it clicked very easily. Though I had to keep reminding her, it's not just pictures. There's words there, because she'd go, "Who is this?" I'm like, read the book.
Yeah, exactly.
What does it say?
Cross my heart, especially with the kids' books. They're not in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I derailed your thought there, but it was – I didn't want to –
No, that's fine.
That thought. And when you mentioned the year one video, that's a whole – that again, that should be – if you get an opportunity to dub it or share it with people – do, because that'll hook people on.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's great stuff. There's others from that series that are really good. They did some that anthology one with Shazam. I rented that on I actually watched it on Netflix, and it was pretty good. I'm trying to think which else, other ones are really good.
Oh, the one with Black Adam and
yeah.
Superman? Yes, that was really good, wasn't it?
Yeah, I liked all those. That was really good. I haven't watched the Catwoman thing. I just remembered. That's the only thing I haven't watched on there. But all that stuff on there, yeah, that. And they talk a lot about that in how still today that, you know, sets the tone for the way things are right now. And I mean, that's still canon, a lot of that. And I hope it stays that way.
Yeah, agreed.
So. And then you brought Catwoman back to, you know, what was the groundwork laid in there. And, yeah, that's a good book.
Sexy Selena.
Yes.
That choreography and the fight scene between her and Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, they expanded that in the cartoons.
They did. That's what I mean. It was really.
Touch. It was good stuff, and they got good. I'm not sure about using McKenzie guy as the young Batman. So, you know, but that was really a Gordon story, and they picked the perfect person for that. So.
What is that actor's name? Gordon.
It's Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, from Malcolm in the Middle. Right. Yeah.
Well, I think Breaking Bad, but that's...
Breaking Bad. Well, yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm in the second season of that still. I tried to root for that guy for a long time, but he finally went over the edge for me, so I'm not sure if I'm going to watch it anymore. But anyway, let's see. Well, you're all watching Walking Dead, I take it.
Am I caught? Yeah, I'm caught up. I'm. Ooh, gosh.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I need them to move on though.
Oh Lord, I know it's slow. Good Lord, I got the seven volume 7 hardcover sitting here. I haven't read it yet. I'm probably reading that soon. Right now I'm still working on getting my comic story published. Looking for an artist. I think I mentioned that last week.
Have you tried digital webbing yet?
I haven't got on that. I sent two emails out just today and already got two responses. So as soon as I get done with the podcast, I'll be talking with them. I might have already found somebody. So we shall see. I have lots of resources that I can use. But anyway.
Finally get to the point where those guys are willing to do stuff on spec again. There was a long period of time where artists were like, nope, I only will do it if I get paid. But
well, I plan on paying. I just depends on how much they want is the thing. You know, if they want $100 a page, then, well, no. But, you know, we'll just have to see.
All right.
I found some guys I really like. And
now, was that the script that you've been sharing with Paul and I?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Right. I haven't edited it from – I've got the critique back from Mandy Schmidt in our class, and I need to work on it, especially the ending, the last bit of dialogue. I knew it was rough when I sent it, so I'm still working on that. But if I can stop taking naps long enough, I'll work on it.
Yeah. Any artist who hooks up with it will be well served by that script.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I really do. That means a lot. I appreciate it. The one thing that he commented on was is I was directing the artists too much, restricting them too much.
But you don't know who the artist is going to be yet. I saw that comment and I'm like, I agreed and I disagreed.
Yeah.
You know, fine, you don't know who the artist is, so yeah, maybe they'll need direction, but, you know, maybe when you get someone hooked up with it, you can, you know.
And I might just send that to them anyway and say, you know, these are suggestions, they're not, you know. It's not going to get the tone of what I'm trying to get across, and but anyway, so, yeah. But, yeah, he really liked it, so that was I was pretty hyped about that, being my first I'll have to let Murray take a look at it once I fix the grammar and stuff. So,
where's that? That'd be cool. What are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's really good. It's been a really nice experience, and it's like I said, I've mentioned in the class. I might mention here. I've had writer's block for a couple of years now since I wrote the unforementioned Book of Evil and the tech book I wrote, and it was just a real bad experience all the way around. Even though I just recently got a little money out of it, it's a little bit better. 3 or 4 years down the line, so even though it took like 2.5 years to write, so that's kind of not exactly even, you know. But anyway.
Yeah, but you got a Kindle Fire, so.
Yeah, that's just true. And one of those Hasbro FX lightsabers, too. Well, anyway, I had to have one.
Hopefully you bought something nice for your wife.
She buys stuff.
Lightsaber. You just said it. What am I?
She buys stuff nice for herself all the time. I don't need to do that. I usually just say, you know, when it comes to Christmas and her birthday, it's like, just get yourself something. I don't know what you want. 9 times out of 10, she doesn't know what you want. So anyway, I won't get into that because she might actually listen to this one day. She took the dogs for a walk, so I'm safe right now. But anyway, comics, yes, comics. What else? I haven't read that Penguin yet. I got it based purely on your recommendation, Caleb. So if it better be good, you'll be getting a check getting a bill for $4 or however much it costs.
You'll enjoy it. If you like Batman number one and number two,
yeah.
And you'll like it.
So, what else?
Murray, have you read that Penguin book yet?
I haven't. No, I don't think I've even seen it. It might be at the store, but I have missed it.
Oswald Cobblepot as the badass that he is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and
no Burgess Meredith, that's for sure.
Yeah, I've looked through it. It looks interesting. And I righted a great wrong that was brought up in one of our top five episodes and procured the trade of Future Imperfect on eBay, a not exactly the best condition copy for $7, but still, I do have one in my hand now. So excellent. My collection is much better for it.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't know why I never got that before, but now I have one, so got that taken care of. All the rest of the comics I haven't read are in the other room, or I'd go get them and go through them. But
that's the problem here is that I'm getting these books, all these DC books and a couple Marvel books,
yeah.
And like you, all of a sudden I'm cramming. It's like, oh God, I got to read, but maybe yeah. I don't. Maybe you know.
I'm trying to take it because that's what I would when we were doing the 52 review stuff. I was reading them all in 1 week, and it was just like come Sunday I didn't have anything to read. So I'm trying to do it a little slower, but I'm going too slow now.
My fear is that if I hold off and say okay, you know what, I'll get a couple issues. What if it sucks and I've spent $6 on a crappy book? I mean, not that so far I have. I think I've caught myself before I've moved on to the next issue of any of the books that are no good. But I almost want to keep up on them, or at least have the issue read before the next issue comes out. Because my local store will let me put stuff back on the shelf even if I've had them pull it. So, I know some stores won't.
I had that come up when I ordered 3 copies of that Legion secret thing to get the key rings and then find out they didn't get any. They let me. I didn't have to buy all of them. So.
I thought you got rings.
I did, but I ordered them separately from Midtown.
Okay.
I've bought stuff from them before. But oh, something I did want to bring up from Marvel, though, else. They have the trade of Strikeforce Moratori.
Moratori,
is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Okay, my bad.
Okay.
I think, yeah, here it is. They have, like, the first issue for 99 cents, which it doesn't really make much sense, I guess, and then they got the trade. It's not a hardcover, but they still want $35 for it. But, if you get it on DCBS or from your local shop, you might be able to get it cheaper. And I have all of those still. But I'm still going to get this because that's just an awesome series, which makes me wonder why they're doing that all of a sudden. Because this was what, early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, something like that.
Probably have to maintain the copyright or whatever.
Oh, that's right. I heard that they're making a movie.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they optioned a movie. That's got to be why.
There you go.
Hopefully it's decent. But I love that. I love that comic. That was really good.
I always like the concept, that you just never – just like with some of these other things that we've talked about in the past, including Game of Thrones and stuff, no one's safe.
You do stuff long enough – you watch, read books and watch TV shows, and it's like, oh yeah, well that guy's gonna get it, and he's one of the main characters, he's not gonna get it. That kind of like happened with that Tasha Yar character in Next Generation. I mean, nobody knew she was gonna leave the show until she got killed all of a sudden. I think they, did that in an interesting way. But
it's funny you should could describe it that way. I've been watching that show Grimm.
We watched the first episode the other day. It wasn't bad.
No, it's actually really good, and it gets in the second episode. But I keep looking at all these supporting characters, thinking, "Oh, well, they're going to build it. Somehow they're going to be tied in, going to be involved." And it's because of watching shows like Lost or any of those other genre shows. You start to think, okay, they're not just going to put a character in there . They're gonna have something with the bigger story.
Yep.
Jaded.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the way it works sometimes. So, you guys got anything else that you've read recently you enjoyed?
Let me see. I've read Rachel Rising by Terry Moore, who did Strangers in Paradise, and just finished up a run or a series called Echo.
Yeah, I read some of that. That was really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed Echo. I thought it was a great series. I think it kind of wrapped up probably a little too quickly for my liking, but I mean, I get what he was going for. He wanted a shorter story. He wanted something quick and And he ended up, well, it's not that there were avenues that he could have explored that I would have loved to see him explore, but mm-hmm. The story he was telling was going in a specific direction. So I get why he did what he did. I just mm-hmm. I would have liked to have seen more of the just a few more character bits and stuff, but that's just me. The story he was telling was good.
Yeah.
And his new story, Rachel Rising, is an ongoing, so it doesn't. I think it's got more of a, like, Echo. I think he had a specific end point that he wanted to get to, and he knew it was going to mm-hmm. be 30 some issues. This one, I don't know that he's got an end point, so mm-hmm. so we may get a little more of the rambling stuff, but it's good so far. It's about it's 3 issues in, and it's about a character named Rachel who has been murdered. And you meet her on the very first day as she crawls out of the grave and starts to go back to her life.
Okay.
And it's been cool. Like the first couple of issues, she's been reconnecting with some of the people in her life, and they all get that something's different with her. Her eyes are a little wonky, and you know, she's got ligature marks on her neck, and but she doesn't remember anything about what's happened to her. And it's been interesting. It's much more of a, like, where Strangers in Paradise was kind of a romantic comedy, and Echo was straight science fiction adventure. This is moving into the realms of horror and spooky stuff, and it looks like it's going to be a good read. I'm looking forward to it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Good deal.
My part, I guess I'm still staying mainstream. I've been getting back into Thunderbolts lately. They sent a group of them back in time, and they're now members of the Invaders. So, and I was always a big Invaders fan.
Okay, interesting.
It's cool to see Golden Age Namor when he had a sense of humor and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Showing up.
Namor had a sense of humor?
Oh, he did. You read some of those early appearances. He was a smart ass, just like all, you know. Again, reading a lot of that Golden Age stuff, you'd be surprised at how surprisingly risque some of it actually gets.
Yeah. I'm still trying to grasp the concept of him being on the X-Men.
He's going to be on 2 teams now. He's going to be on the X-Men and the Defenders.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's the Lord of Atlantis. He can do that.
He can do whatever, yeah. I think I'm looking forward to that Defenders book, maybe.
I am too. Well, it's got Iron Fist in it. I really like that character. I always have. I don't know why, but I just love that character.
And was that Betty Ross? Is she?
Yeah, she's the Red Hulk. Yeah, the Red She-Hulk. I think that's lame. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I mean, spoilers for anybody that doesn't know. Okay, you got General Ross is the Red Hulk. And I read a recap of all that, and that's kind of cool, but then to make her the Red She-Hulk, I don't get that. I just don't.
Now is Jennifer, what's her name, Jennifer Walters, is she still the Green She-Hulk? I don't even know.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I think she is. I think she's just off camera.
Speaking of that, I read that the new Incredible Hulk number 1. That sucked.
Oh, don't hold back.
I know we try not to be negative on here, but that I just really I really, really strongly dislike that a lot. How's that better?
Okay.
I mean, I just like, what the hell has happened here? I don't know. I don't understand why they have to separate the two. That never made any sense to me. I don't know. I just don't get it. Okay, on top of that, though, that's the first probably Hulk comic I've read since Planet Hulk. And probably nothing before that, so I might not be the right judge for it, so...
I know they were planning this before, but, you know, Marvel's having, surprisingly having to play catch up here. back to DC. DC put out a strong set of first issues. Not all of them were, runs as Green Arrow. But they came back, they continued the quality, and agree or disagree, number twos exceeded or at least matched up the quality of number ones, and Marvel's going, holy crap, we've got, Future itself, which was, which was boring at the end of it. But again, I know we don't try to be negative, but it didn't end very strong.
Yeah.
It had a lot of potential, and just kind of, we're going to finish up. We've got a lot of stuff we want to do that spins out of it. So, characters die.
Well, and I noticed that the quote-unquote final issue, they're dragging that out, 7.1, 7.2, 7.3. What the heck is that? I mean...
And like I said, they have a lot of spin-out stuff, including that Hulk number one, the
Fearless Hulk, or something like that, right?
Which has some strong some Paul Pelletier art in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like his art.
And some Mark Bagley stuff in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they've already pulled back on a couple of the things that happened in the miniseries. But it's Marvel's having to play catch up, and it's a weird place I think for them to be.
Mm-hmm.
It looks good on him.
What's that?
It looks good on him.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
I'll come back, and they'll not all these DC books can maintain the quality that we hope that they can, but I think we all know that it's going to go through some valleys, and that'll be Marvel's opportunity to jump in and catch up again.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think it doesn't sound like Hulk is going to be their opportunity, though, according to you.
No, it just didn't do anything for me. You got Hulk hanging out with the leftovers of Mole Man's minions, and I just want to be left alone. And, okay, well, then I'll leave you alone. I'm not buying it anymore. I mean, it says right in there, don't buy me anymore. Leave me alone. Okay, fine, and I'll stop buying it. So I tried it. It was that week I splurged, and, I bought, like, 5 Marvel books and all the DC stuff that came out that week. And, I need to start cutting things, and probably Blackhawks is going to be one, and because that really doesn't do anything for me.
I own up. Number two was not as strong as I was nowhere near as strong as number one.
Yeah, well, that's I still have that to read, but the number one was, I don't know. I wanted to try all of the number twos for a lot of it. Well, except for Hawk and Dove, of course. And I don't want anything to do with Voodoo either. That just really left a bad taste in my mouth.
Oh no, the second issue was good.
It might be the lizard scales, I don't know.
Of which?
Voodoo.
Of Voodoo.
Oh, yeah, no, it's strong. It's good, Chris. It really is.
What? Voodoo was good?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Two of you are telling me this?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Lots of grow action.
Maybe I'll wait. Jeez.
You don't know that right away.
I might wait till it gets down a dollar and buy it on Comicology.
Okay, you do that. You do that. Give it
time to marinate a little bit. Or
number three's got Kyle in it.
Yeah.
Or will have Kyle in it.
Well, they didn't wait long until the crossover started, did they?
No.
They're just little.
Oh well. Okay, well, I'll put it under advisement. How about that?
There you go.
We'll keep you updated. If number three is it keeps the upward trend on that book.
Yeah, well, I mean, if the strippers come back, then I'm there.
Well, that was just the problem. There weren't enough strippers in the second issue.
Not enough strippers? Well, yeah, that's a general problem with a lot of comics today, actually.
Okay, so... Not to, I know we were kind of petering out here, heading towards the end of the conversation, but Oh. How about that the scene in Nightwing number two with him and with Dick Grayson and the circus chick in the airplane?
I haven't read it yet.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. Then let me know what you think of that. I'd be curious.
Yeah, I will let you know. I've got a lot of reading to do.
Apparently,
I do. I'm way behind. I was on vacation, come back to work, and swamped. And then, you know, finally got the critique back on my script, and I just been working on that in between naps. But I work from home tomorrow, so I will catch up on some of that.
There you go. I heard Dick Grayson got lucky.
Well, good for him.
He's
been
always getting lucky.
Well, I mean, you know, he's a young man, you know.
Leia.
Yeah. You know, everybody knows he's, you know, probably knows he's rich. I just hope that they play up on the police connection a little bit. So.
Not mentioned at all in this issue.
No, it probably won't be, but, you know.
But he had a tongue in his mouth for part of the issue, so that's understandable.
Well, okay. There you go. Well, that's
all right.
That's a bonus. I think we're starting to degenerate here. But that's all right.
I'm done. I just, you know, again,
no, stronger
second month, and the third month is starting off strong. Marvel's put out a couple of good books.
Mm-hmm.
Good time to be a comic reader. It's an expensive time to be a comic reader.
Yeah. Well, I think the 52 thing, new 52 thing made everybody take notice, so. I really do.
Good. Hopefully the new Kindle,
mm-hmm.
or et cetera, continue that trend.
Yeah.
And they finally get the clue that they don't need to charge $2 on the digital copies.
Yeah, well, and I've been finding, looking at some, trying to read some more cyberpunk stuff that I've, you know, that's kind of what my story's based on, and I was into that there for a while, and I was looking, in some cases, the paper books are cheaper than the Kindle books.
That's ridiculous.
I know. I don't understand that. I mean, that might be set by the publisher and all that, but I'm finding that more frequently. You go through there and you look at it, and it shows you all the different stuff, and brand new, you know, paperback book, $2 or $3 cheaper than the Kindle version. That makes absolutely no sense. So, you know, if you're a publisher, pay heed. That's crap, dude.
Need to get Paul French on here for a few minutes.
Yeah,
he works for a distributor publisher. So.
Yeah, got to explain that to me, and he might not. He might think it's crazy too. So, I'll have to post that on our little Facebook thing. Speaking of ways, you can see how what I did there.
Very well done.
Are we about done?
I'm done.
Okay. I think so. Yeah,
since
yeah.
We didn't have any real structure to this episode. We can try to structure it more. And there's ways you can help with that. If you're interested on contacting us and letting us know what you want us to talk about, or you just want to tell us what bunch of dweebs we are, then there's several ways to do that. There's the email address, podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. You can comment on the actual episode at talesfromthelongbox.com. You can go to our Facebook group, which gets a lot of traffic and usually quick to respond. Do a little searching on Facebook. We're the only one on there. I'm not even going to mention the forum anymore because I'm not even paying attention to it. That poor guy that signed up, I just left him in the lurch. I'm going to have to apologize to him. But, you know, been busy. What else is there? iTunes. Yes, we're on iTunes. You can leave comments there. We would like that. Let us know you're out there. If you just want to say hey, that's fine. Anyway.
Hey.
Yeah.
If you're an artist who's looking for a script and mm-hmm. Chris has already picked someone.
Because this isn't going to be the only script I'm writing here. I'm thinking I've got some ideas in my head and been talking with my buddy Mike, which is a very good writer on his own. He's working on a couple of novels and other things, and we've talked about collaborating. In fact, I have the barely have greyghostcomics.com website up. I mean, it's up there, and got a blog, and it doesn't have anything on it right now. But I need to get this other stuff done first. But you might be seeing some stuff on there. Might be doing some prose and get the old creative juices flowing. So shameless plug for this.
Nothing shameless about it.
Yeah. No, there wasn't anything. You're right there. Not shameless at all. But anyway, just let us know what you want to hear. And I believe that's it for this week. And this is cool. Us signing off till next week.
Cool. Catch you later.
All right, later.